Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Charlotte had big transit plans. It involved five light and commuter rail lines stretching all over the county and meeting in a central location uptown. Those lines would have helped commuters, allegedly would have reduced traffic congestion, and if the blue line is prologue, would have acted as a massive engine of economic development. But Raleigh knows best, and key legislators say they won't even consider allowing us to ask voters for the sales tax increase to partially fund that plan unless we make major changes. That made the old plan a non-starter. Raleigh wants greater concentration on roads, less on rail, and so Charlotte went back to the drawing board in an effort to comply and tentatively cut the Silver Line to Matthews, replacing it with bus rapid transit, just as Norfolk Southern finally said yes to allowing Lynx to use its O-Line tracks to run the Red Line commuter train to the northern part of the county. Are you keeping up on all this? The northern towns had said that they would not back the increased sales tax unless that happened. Well, now they will, but Matthews won't. In short, it's a mess. And last night, Charlotte City Council met to discuss purchasing Norfolk Southern's O-Line tracks, which would allow them to put the Red Line train on those tracks from uptown to Davidson and beyond. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the old plan. We're going to talk about the new plan. And joining us to explain it all is WFAE's political reporter Steve Harrison, who has been following transit closely for years. Lee Altman is a Mecklenburg County Commissioner who is also chair of the Metropolitan Transit Commission. Ed Driggs represents District 7 on Charlotte City Council. He's a member of the council's, actually the chair of the council's Transportation and Planning and Development Committee and the Jobs and Economic Development Committee. And John Higdon is the mayor of Matthews, who is adamantly opposed to bus rapid transit replacing the Silver Line to his town. Welcome to you all. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
So it was a late night for John Higdon on the Matthews Town Commission. It was a late night for Ed Driggs on Charlotte City Council. I'm told that Steve Harrison was at City Council to cover this meeting. And as soon as you decided on trains, he left. But he's here to tell us exactly what happened last night. Steve, they discussed buying the Red Line tracks from Norfolk Southern. What's the price tag?
The city council is going to be asked on September 3rd to spend $91 million to buy the O-Line tracks, the freight tracks from uptown to the Iredell County line, $74 million for the actual rails, $17 million for some land uptown near the planned Gateway Station. It's a major breakthrough and a major move forward for the Red Line, which has, you know, been, the city has tried to build it for about 25 years unsuccessfully. So it's a big step forward, or will be a big step forward on September 3rd. There is some risk. The city is buying it flat out. There's no option to buy. So if somehow the transit tax doesn't move forward, the authority doesn't move forward, the city owns the rails with no way to build the Red Line. But as I think Councilmember Driggs will say, I think they felt like this is going to be a risk worth taking.
So this seems to have developed, this ability of us to use these tracks, Ed, seems to have developed, at least from the outsider's point of view, relatively quickly. For years, they said, no, Norfolk Southern said, absolutely not. You're not using our tracks. Not now, not ever, no way. Suddenly, now they're open to it, and now we're going to buy them, or at least it's on the table to buy them. Where's the money coming from? Was that in the plan?
The money initially is coming from Charlotte Resources. We have a plan to fund the purchase through the current debt capacity that we have, and also anticipating the use of some debt capacity in the next two bond cycles. But the goal is then to recover all of the outlay of Charlotte by transferring the land to the MTC or the new authority and being paid back. So this is essentially a bridge loan that Charlotte is making in order to procure the land so that the rest of the plan can move forward.
But it could be a bridge to nowhere, because the financing for this depends on whether or not the legislature says yes to the 1 cent sales tax for transit. That isn't even hasn't even been written yet. It wouldn't be on the ballot until November of 2025 at the earliest. What happens if they don't let us hold the referendum and don't let us have the sales tax, or the voters say no to the sales tax? What happens then?
So I explained last night, Mike, that let's say there's a 30% chance that we do not get a referendum passed in ever, like that we try a couple of times and it just doesn't happen. We end up owning that land. And let's say we take a 30% loss when we sell the land. There's an expected value of about $8 million in terms of not being able to complete at all. And frankly, if we're in a position where nothing gets passed and we have no plan, we have no resources, we've got much bigger problems than the expected cost of Charlotte of a failure.
It seems a little backwards, and to use an old phrase, is this anywhere to run a railroad?
Well, you know, it all came about because of circumstances. The northern towns expected the red line from the 1998 sales tax. It couldn't be done. And they made clear that we weren't going to embark on any new initiative unless we had an answer. So Charlotte stepped up and said, fine, we'll just buy it. It'll be there. It'll be available. And we will be able to do the red line. And that was how we were able to move.
Lee Altman is here. She is a Mecklenburg County Commissioner and chair of the Metropolitan Transit Commission, an organization that would go away, as I understand it, under this new proposal to go to the legislature and ask for this permission to do the referendum on the sales tax. It would all be part of that plan with a new entity coming in running transit. But since you're still in charge, how do you and other members of the commission feel about this?
Well, good morning, Mike, and good morning to your listeners. Thanks so much for having me. I want to say something about what Mr. Driggs just commented on with your question. What Charlotte is proposing to do is showing real leadership. We have been stuck for 20 plus years not moving forward as more and more people pour into our community. So I think we should all take a moment to be grateful that Charlotte is willing to put itself out there that way, because it's a real move towards regionalism, and we need the largest municipality to help us get there for all of our sakes. So I personally am very appreciative for the leadership that Charlotte has shown and its willingness to buy the O-line. Relative to your question, yes, we currently have the Metropolitan Transit Commission, which governs the current CATS program. And if we pass this new 1 cent sales tax, at the same time, a new regional transit authority would come into being, and CATS and the Metropolitan Transit Commission would go away, and we would be absorbed, and we would become, you know, a regional transit authority, which is what is the gold standard for major metropolitan areas like us. And so, I believe we are moving in the right direction to meet the needs of this community in a really bold and important way, which is overdue. We haven't been able to do it before now because we didn't have, you know, the red line to the north to make it all possible. But we now have this one-time opportunity to make this purchase, which unlocks all these other possibilities.
And we've been reporting on this for months now about the dissolution of the Metropolitan Transit Commission and the creation of a new regional authority to run CATS and transit throughout the area, being part of this bargain with the legislature to let us put the referendum on the ballot in November 2025. Is this something that came about because the legislature wants it, because they would be able to name some people on this board? Or is this coming about because of complaints by regional towns like Matthews, like Mint Hill, like Davidson, et cetera, Pineville, who said that Charlotte was a kind of a bully on the Transit Commission, and if it's our way or the highway? So Lee, let me get your impression of that.
No, the Regional Transit Authority would come into being because we will be bringing in an extra $20 billion to this region to run mass transit on a very significant scale.
But the tax, the sales tax on transit would only be in Mecklenburg County, correct?
Yes, and yes.
So why spread it out? Why spread the control out to other areas?
Well, the hope is that, you know, a regional transit authority ideally will be more than just one county. And we are laying the foundation for future generations to participate in a synchronized transit system that is bigger than just Mecklenburg County. So we are doing the hard work that will set us up for success for generations to come.
Ed Driggs, go ahead.
So, Mike, for one, Charlotte is entirely on board with the idea of the authority. So this is not a case of others requiring this because of Charlotte. There is a consensus that we need to move to a different form of governance. Charlotte does not want to have liability for all that debt. We don't want the thing to reside within the city as CATS currently does. So everybody, I think, is in agreement that as we move towards this major new investment, we also need to have a more appropriate structure.
But the Charlotte Observer quoted you, Ed, this morning as saying last night that this decision facing the city in September about whether to pull the trigger on this purchase is daunting, but exciting. What makes it daunting? The fact that it's $91 million?
I was actually talking about the entire package, the legislation, the mobility plan. It's huge, right? Anything of this magnitude is going to generate a lot of noise. It is going to be complicated. And people need to take on board all of the ins and outs and get comfortable. So I was just saying to my colleagues, I understand that it's challenging to reach a conclusion about this, but please don't lose sight of the fact it's a huge opportunity. It's really exciting that we're doing this.
John Higdon is here. He's the mayor of the town of Matthews, where the town commission said when they found out that there was a possibility that the Silver Line train would not be coming to their town, that they would oppose the sales tax increase. And we've been talking about this Red Line, O-Line track purchase potential that's coming up, with people being very excited about it. I would anticipate, John, that you're not.
Well, I think the Red Line would be a great thing for our region, but I never said that I would support building the Red Line instead of the Silver Line. I recall being at a Christmas party in 1994, and when I didn't have white hair, talking to several officials that were elected officials and people that worked in Matthews. And they were talking about the possibility of light rail coming to Matthews in 1994 and prior to that. So that was 30 years ago. We've made all of our land use decisions in the previous three decades with anticipating that this light rail was going to come here. And all these folks, I think there's a real misjudgment in the calculus of those that are promulgating this transit tax. I heard Steve Harrison say on your show last week that Matthews wasn't big enough to derail this plan, and that may be true, but I think there's a lot of allies in East Charlotte that are really, really upset about this plan. Folks from Charlotte East and the Monroe Road advocates, and they're going to come out in droves and vote against this. And I think the real risk is that this entire plan is going to fail. I don't think our taxpayers are going to go for this. I think they're going to vote no. And then what are we going to do? And that's not good for anybody.
The original Silver Line has changed and morphed in terms of where it started and where it ended for quite some time. And the latest plan prior to this possibility of it not running at all was going to take it from Matthews through Uptown, near the airport, and out to Belmont. What have you heard, John, and I only have 30 seconds, but what have you heard from Belmont about this change?
Well, they're obviously not thrilled. I mean, they're not happy at all. So I find it somewhat ironic that everybody in the county that's telling me how great BRT is going to be are getting trains. And they're telling Matthews and East Charlotte to be happy with BRT. BRT has not been built successfully in North America anywhere. The closest is Cleveland, Ohio, and they scored a 63 out of 100 from the Institute of Transportation and Development Policy ratings.
BRT is Bus Rapid Transit, which is what Matthews is being promised in lieu of the Silver Line. But the Silver Line may still be coming. This is very confusing. And Steve, I'm going to ask you to clear that up when we come back in just a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaOfSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the Charlotte Mobility Plan, which has been in place for, it seems like, decades. Maybe it has been in place for decades, but it's morphed over time. And last night, Charlotte City Council met to consider spending $91 million on purchasing the Norfolk Southern O-Line tracks on which to place the Red Line to Davidson to Uptown and beyond. We continue to talk about that in a moment, but all of that depends on whether the strategic mobility plan can be paid for through a increase in sales tax, which is dependent on Raleigh being on board with that, and voters as well. Steve Harrison is here. He's WFAE's political reporter who has been covering transit for us. Lee Altman, Mecklenburg County Commissioner and Chair of the Metropolitan Transit Commission. John Higdon is the mayor of the town of Matthews, and Ed Driggs is a member of Charlotte City Council and chair of the Transportation Committee. This plan, when they made the alteration, Steve, it appeared that Matthews would be bereft of its Silver Line train and given bus rapid transit. And yet, as I understand it, Silver Line is still part of this package. It has not been removed. What is the status of the Silver Line as we know it at this moment?
So this spring, the Charlotte City Manager, the Mecklenburg County Manager, and the managers of the towns were meeting in kind of private to hash out a new transit plan. And when they agreed that they would have less money for light rail, then it became obvious that something had to give. And in those meetings, the city of Charlotte laid out a presentation. They put out documents showing that Matthews would get bus rapid transit instead. All of the other towns believe this. There are presentations, Cornelius, Pineville, they have their meetings to talk about the resolution. They put up on the screen that it will be bus rapid transit to Matthews. What's happened is, as this is kind of blown up and Matthews has gotten upset, the city of Charlotte has tried to walk that back and say, technically, no decisions have been made. The final decision must be made by the MTC or the Transit Authority. And while technically that's true, you know, the way local government works is that, this is already set in motion. And technically it is correct, but there is not enough money to build the Red Line and the full Silver Line to Matthews. And the city staff are kind of refusing to or declining to talk about what was in those meetings and what was told to the different managers.
Let's be clear. There's not enough money for both of these train lines because of Raleigh's mandate that we place more emphasis on roads, or it was a non-starter for them to say yes to a bond referendum. Is that correct, Ed?
Yes, we started to hear probably a year ago or more that the leadership in the legislature would not support the legislation. And let's be clear, what's going on is a draft legislation has been developed by the member communities of the MTC laying out what it is that we want the legislature to let us do. And that includes the sales tax and the authority. It incorporates the allocation of funds that we're talking about that is different from the assumption we were making before. It says 40% for rail, 20% for other transit like buses, and 40% for roads. That was in response to what we were told. So any conversation among the managers about what that might mean for the plan is not binding on anybody. And the reality of the situation was that that plan is actually going to be developed, going to have to be developed, starting right now, probably late this year, and going through to summer next year as part of an outreach program with the public. And we're going to have to offer a revised plan to the public in the context of the referendum to get them to vote on it. So that plan doesn't exist yet. And any discussions that took place otherwise had to be understood to be non-binding because they had not been approved by the MTC and we had not had that public outreach yet.
John.
Yes, I think it's absolutely disingenuous for anybody to suggest that there's going to be enough money to build the Silver Line as light rail in the current plan. That's a non-starter. It's obvious to anybody that knows anything about mathematics that there's not going to be enough funding. So for Marcus Jones or anybody else to insinuate, oh, maybe we will build light rail in Matthews, not with this plan. There's not enough funding. And so I'm really getting tired of folks saying, well, hey, we haven't really decided. Yes, you have. If this passes, we will not have light rail in Matthews, and that's not acceptable.
If I may, Mayor, there's a difference between recognizing that the implication of what the legislature said is, as you just pointed out, that there isn't going to be enough money, and suggesting that somebody had actually made a decision to cut the silver line. It was just something that appeared to be obvious from the fact that the rail money was cut in half.
It was Lee, not Lee Altman, you're the chair of the Metropolitan Transit Commission. You've known for years, that we've all known for years, that the northern towns, Cornelius, Huntersville, Davidson, all said if they didn't get the red line, they would oppose the 1 cent sales tax increase on the next referendum, if the referendum ever comes. They comprise a large part of the population, I suppose, of Mecklenburg County, and probably could sway the vote one way or the other. But in order to give them the red line, which apparently they are going to get if we say yes to the 1 cent sales tax now, something has to give, and what gave is the silver line to Matthews. And now they're saying that they won't vote for it. It kind of puts you guys in between a rock and a hard place, I suppose. But how difficult a decision is that? Because if they say no, it's not just Matthews. It is all that whole corridor up and down Independence Boulevard that might be a little ticked. Where does that put you? Where does that leave you?
So, Mike, what we're really talking about is gridlock. We're talking about political gridlock. We're talking about gridlock on our roads. And it is my obligation as a leader of this community to try to move us forward, because we know that our quality of life when we are trying to get from point A to point B is decreasing rapidly. And, you know, and many people don't have access to a car, and they are literally cut off from job opportunities and healthcare. And we have to do something about that. So we finally, amazingly, have the ability to do something about that. And the reason why is because we had this break with the red line, which nobody thought was possible, which has now given the North a willingness to a 1 cent sales tax, which was the precursor for the General Assembly to agree to legislation.
But Lee, it seems the bigger gridlock, and correct me if I'm wrong, would be on Independence Boulevard or Monroe Road, which would be the two possible routes, unless you build a completely new road just for buses, that would take bus rapid transit from uptown to Matthews. Steve Harrison has been reporting on the new commuter lanes on I-77, and has been reporting that since those have come online, it's actually quicker to take get in your car and get in those lanes and go uptown from Davidson than it would be to take the red line. So is the red line the right way to go, or would the silver line be the better decision?
You know, we have this opportunity to bring in unprecedented amount of infrastructure to this community. And what is going to happen is if we are successful at this moment in time, just getting permission to have a referendum, we will have a deep and searching community conversation about where to allocate those resources. That will happen from November of this year until July, August of next year. And then we will have a vote. But if we don't act now, we can just say goodbye to our ability to access not only the $19 billion that this tax will bring, but an additional $6 billion in federal money, matching funds, that'll just go to another community that has developed a matching source, which is a prerequisite for getting those federal funds. Like, we cannot afford to miss this one window, this fleeting opportunity that we have been waiting on for decades.
I want to ask you a question about that in a second, but John Higdon wants to get into this. Go ahead, John.
I just wanted to make your listeners aware, because they may not be aware, but this plan actually contemplates, and I'm not sure what all happened last night with the purchasing of the red line, but it contemplates building for tens of millions of dollars a railroad station in Mooresville. And the last time I checked, you know, I love the folks in Mooresville, but they're not in Mecklenburg County, and they won't be paying one dime towards this tax. And that's the ultimate, you know, adding insult to injury, giving Matthews bus rapid transit while we're building a train station in another county that's not paying for it. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Ed, what about that? That's another $17 million, as I understand.
So 2 points quickly. For one, the Red Line was at the top of the MTC project list after 1998, and it was relegated behind the Blue Line because of the Norfolk Southern's unwilling to play. So what the northern towns have been holding out for is delivery on an expectation they had 26 years ago. The comparison between the Silver Line and the Red Line is not a level comparison, but the yes. You were looking pensive about that, Mike.
No, I was getting ready to ask another question, but go ahead.
But the other point is Mooresville. So what our deal with Norfolk Southern includes is an option to buy the Iredell County portion of the line. The option will not be exercised unless we come to terms with Mooresville and Iredell County on how that's going to work. And I think that's going to include a conversation about their participation in this project, i.e. there'd be an MOU or something like that, but it's not an outright gift. And we are not committing the money for the Iredell County portion of the Red Line yet.
Lee Altman, you and Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles wrote an opinion piece that appeared in Sunday's Charlotte Observer, calling the transit plan a generational opportunity. But you also said this, quote, "Here's the key. When and if the General Assembly passes legislation authorizing our local referendum, then we will begin to update the 2030 plan. We will undergo a very detailed, in-depth public process to evaluate all the potential projects, update their costs in today's numbers, and we'll make difficult decisions together and as a community about how and what we can afford." I'm not a high finance person. I'm not in government. This seems backwards to me. Why are we asking for money from the legislature or permission to take money from taxpayers through the 1 cent sales tax if we don't know how we're going to spend it, how much we're going to spend on certain projects, and what those projects are? Why hasn't this plan has been on the table since the 1990s? Why don't we know the answers to these questions yet?
You know, when the transit plan was developed, it was sort of like a wish list without any money to fund it. And so everything and anything that we wanted was put into the plan. And for two decades, there was no ability to fund it and no horizon for it to become a reality. And then we had this window open in the last 6 months or year. And now we have the actual present ability to secure, again, $25 billion to make fantastic infrastructure in this community. And we have to take the original wish list and figure out as a community what we can fund out of that original wish list. And that will result in an updated transit plan that is, we have community input, we will have workshops, and we will have a vote from the elected officials that represent all these communities. And that will be finalized before the voters ever have to agree to the tax. The only thing that is happening right now is we are trying to secure our ability to have that choice to vote yes or no in a year. If we don't do that now, then this whole thing is moot.
Steve, this plan, as I said, has been on the table since the 90s, and it included originally at least five light rail lines that went all over the county and into the other counties, into Gaston County, into Iredell County, down into York County, to Rock Hill, and other places as well. We knew what it was. We knew what we wanted. Why has it taken so long to get to this point where we're finally going to maybe have an opportunity to vote on a 1 cent sales tax that will fund hardly any of that original plan?
Well, I think it's important to go back a couple years to the original plan when the city was going to do a penny sales tax increase and they thought most of the money was going to go for transit. It wasn't just a wish list. The city had pretty detailed financial models of what they thought they could build with most of the money going to transit. I mean, the city has spent a lot of money on a consultant to lay out a plan of what could be built and when. It may be optimistic, you know, it may not be reality, but it wasn't just a wish list. The city was getting under the hood pretty detailed to work up a plan. And, you know, you could make an argument that before we go to Raleigh, the city updates that financial model. The city has a consultant on retainer for $1 million to do this kind of work, you could do it pretty easily. I think the city has already done some of this work. It was presented to the local town managers. So some of this exists. But going back to your question, Mike, I think one of the problems was if you go, you know, went back to, I think it was early 2022 or 2023, when Tim Moore said absolutely no way to the current plan with most of the money going for trains. It took Charlotte a long time to get its head around that. I mean, they kept kind of sticking with the same thing over and over again. It took them a long time to get around to reality.
Ed, you're one of the two Republicans in government in Mecklenburg County, the two on city council. The Republican legislature seems to be the stumbling block here. They mandated more access to roads, more emphasis on roads as opposed to rail. This plan that Charlotte has had in place since the 90s, which concentrates mostly on commuter rail and light rail, was designed by people who know about transportation. Ron Tober, the former director of CATS, years ago said he thought this whole thing would be completed by next year, by 2025. And here we are, we haven't done anything at all. What do these planners see? What does Charlotte understand that these people in Raleigh, looking at the great state of Mecklenburg, do not see? What's the problem?
Mike, there's room for a wide diversity of opinion about public transportation, and you're going to hear people from across the spectrum quote statistics, point to certain examples of what worked or didn't work. There's no unique right position. There is no expert that has an exclusive on the good outcome. So I think that what Raleigh was saying was you're going to need roads, and you haven't made enough allowance for money for roads in the way you're thinking about this. I don't entirely disagree.
But Ed, where are we going to put those roads? And as soon as you build a road, it fills up. So where are we going to put them?
The road investments, for one, the Charlotte share of the road investments has actually been mapped out pretty clearly by Ed McKinney of CATS. We have a document that shows all the road projects that have been identified and a procedure for prioritizing them. And by the way, I want to emphasize, we keep saying Charlotte this, Charlotte that. It was the MTC. The Charlotte CATS staff worked on these plans because they're the people that know about these things. And it was always up to the MTC to decide.
Okay, we have to take a break. We'll come back and explore this even more when we do come back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the new transportation plan, or the one that may be voted on by voters in November of 2025, the 1 cent sales tax for that. And last night, the Charlotte City Council met to discuss buying the Red Line tracks from Norfolk Southern. They'll vote on that in September. Steve Harrison is here, WFAE's political reporter who reports extensively on transit for us. Lee Altman is Mecklenburg County Commissioner and Chair of the Metropolitan Transit Commission. Ed Driggs is the Chair of the Charlotte City Council's Transportation Committee. And John Higdon is the Mayor of the Town of Matthews. Just a second ago, Lee, Ed Driggs talked about this plan being the brainchild of CATS and the Metropolitan Transit Commission, and that we should have confidence in that because CATS knows what it's doing, do they? Given past history?
I think that we as a community are going to undertake to update this plan. If we don't like the plan, we can change the plan. That is what these next 8 months will be for. It's for the community to remain in control of what the plan should be, and that they will remain in control when they vote up or down 15 months from now. But we don't want to give away the opportunity for them to have that engagement, that ability to shape the plan, and the ability to vote.
Steve.
I think one of the things I've watched over the past few weeks that's been a little concerning, going back to the decision or the tentative decision to switch out light rail for bus rapid transit in Matthews, the idea of building true bus rapid transit to Matthews is just not feasible. The North Carolina Department of Transportation has said, originally there was an idea to put the BRT many, many years ago on Independence Boulevard. That's passed. There's no room to do it. The NCDOT has said that. The city has said, well, we could build our own separate BRT dedicated lanes in basically the same corridor the Silver Line was going to go. That's just not realistic. There are 0.2 cents dedicated to bus. The city has designs on that money. They want to expand the bus system. They want to spend a lot of money there. Building a true BRT system to Matthews would cost well over $1 billion, $2 billion. That 0.2 cents, it's just not realistic to assume it can do that.
So I have Lee Altman nodding her head in agreement, and I have Ed Driggs shaking his head in disagreement. I don't know where to go first. Ed, I'll go with you first.
Steve, I don't know what the basis is for your expert opinion on this subject. There's about $4 billion in the plan for transit other than rail. And basically, the implication of the legislature's decision to cut back on the rail investment was we still have $19 billion. We have to allocate it differently. And that means that there is more money available to consider, because the primary BRT project that is under consideration, especially because of the Silver Line, would be the one going south from uptown.
Lee?
And let's just take a step back and explain what BRT is. It's not CATS Plus. It's not a bus, you know, with some frills around it. It would be a dedicated lanes with their dedicated signaling system, with real infrastructure at each stop, not like a bench. It is something that in the United States, not a lot of communities have truly invested in, and it hasn't shown a great deal of success. But outside of the United States, there are gold standard BRT systems that are very successful. And in point of fact, I will be traveling to Miami with a delegation from Mecklenburg County this week to see what Miami is doing, because they are on the cutting edge of this process. They aren't all the way there. They haven't debuted it, but they are farther along than we are. And I think we all need to take a breath and understand what could be possible and see what we can get for our community, and not just sort of fold our hands and turn our backs and lose this opportunity to make progress.
So, John Higdon, you have expressed severe doubts that bus rapid transit to Matthews will ever be built. You're not going with the group to Miami next week to see what they're trying to accomplish down there. What's your take on all of this?
My take is this trip to Miami is kind of a fool's errand. There's nothing really built in Miami. So you're going to go hear a speech, an elevator speech about how great BRT is going to be in Miami when they actually build it. If this group was actually serious about learning about BRT, they would go to a town in North America that has actually a mature, quote unquote, BRT system. As I mentioned, Cleveland's got the highest rated one in North America. It's 63 points out of 100. Nobody in North America has built true BRT, period, to the gold standard. And why Mecklenburg County thinks we have the magic jelly beans that are going to allow us to build this BRT system is laughable. And going to Miami, where doesn't even exist yet, I don't understand the purpose of that. And I really encourage your listeners to go Google BRT in North America. And what you see are large bus stations with parking decks behind them. You don't see the transit-oriented development that comes with light rail at all. Google it. Any city in the country, you see parking decks and, you know, a bus station. And that's not what Matthews wants, and that's not what East Charlotte wants, and that's not what our region wants. And we won't build true BRT here. I've said previously, I bet my house on it. It'll never happen. Will not be built here. We're not magic. We can't do it. Nobody else has done it in North America. The best ones are in China and Colombia, where they have plenty of open space to build it correctly. But we're too dense here to build it the way it should be built, and it won't be built correctly. We'll have buses sitting in traffic.
John, the Observer's editorial board said over the weekend that we will likely have only one chance to get this right. If we are successful in getting the General Assembly to allow a referendum and the voters approve the sales tax hike, that's it. There will be no going back to the well later on saying we need to raise it again because we need more money to do X, Y, or Z. If you agree with that, what happens if you don't get bus rapid transit and you don't get the Silver Line? What then?
Look, Malcolm Graham has suggested that elected leaders, not non-elected leaders, that those of us that actually were voted into office, have a summit and come together and come up with a true consensus community plan. Not a plan that has winners and losers, has first-class transit for part of the county and second or third-class transit for everybody else. There's got to be a better way, and to just ramrod this through without the consensus of the community. Matthews is not for this. East Charlotte is not for this. You don't have a plan that the community supports. And I really fear that this is going to fail if this current transit tax is ramrodded through. I think the voters are going to vote against it if we do go to a referendum, and it's going to fail, and we're going to have nothing.
Ed, this is very reminiscent of what. Well, hold on. This is very reminiscent of how the city handled the 1 cent sales tax or 1% sales tax for the arts. They had no plan going in. They had no plan going in. They just said, "Trust us, give us the money, we'll spend it accurately." And the voters said, "No."
Can I respond to that?
Yes, you can.
So, for one, as Commissioner Altman has explained, there will be a process through which, by the time the summer rolls around next year, the exact plan that has been agreed to by the entire community, all the members of the MTC and the public, is going to be made known, and the public will vote on that. The only thing I would say to Mayor Higdon is, do you think a failure of this thing is a cause for celebration? Do you think finding ourselves in a position where we have no plan is a good outcome? And I would like us to move down this road, come up with something that we can offer to the people of Mecklenburg County and let them decide rather than not do anything.
If I could just add, there are four counties in the state, Orange, Durham, Wake, and Mecklenburg, that charge a transit tax. We would be the only county in North Carolina that is levying a tax against our residents to pay for roads that NCDOT should be building anyway. I think we have to go back to the legislature. We have to put forth a plan that fully funds, not woefully underfunds, this project. And yeah, it would be terrible. I agree, we need mass transit, but you can't just totally neglect a whole swath of the county and say, hey, do this BRT thing that Miami says is great, even though they haven't built it yet. That's ridiculous.
Lee.
I think it's really important that we speak accurately about this. When you use words like ramming and neglecting a whole swath, and it's pretty inflammatory, I want the community to understand that we get to decide how we use $25 billion. The only constraints on our choices around how we locally decide, because we always say we want local control. Here's an opportunity to have local control for $25 billion in infrastructure. The only constraints on that is that 40% has to go to roads. And by the way, a lot of our roads need repairs, including our orphan roads. 20% has to go to bus, which would allow us to spend $1 billion to bring BRT, high quality, gold standard BRT, and 40% to rail. Those three percentages are the only requirements being placed upon us externally. Everything else we choose to do, we choose locally. So it will be done through a democratic process, because that's how we make all of our decisions. It is, you know, we will arrive at it together through the democratic process. And that's just incredibly important.
But that's the other wrinkle in this, Steve, it seems to me, is that we don't know exactly what projects we want to fund. We don't know exactly when that decision will be made, although it will be made before we levy the tax, but after we ask the legislature for permission. And now we don't know who will be making this decision is, because the new plan that's on the table would create a 27-person regional transit authority to administer transit going forward. Is that going to happen before we make the decision on how to spend this money, or are they going to make the decision on how to spend this money, Steve?
It's a good question. The city has started to say in its meetings, when there's questions about what's going to be built and when, et cetera, and the city manager has said a few times, well, this would be a decision made by the future transit authority. which is true, but it's a weird chicken or the egg, because you will be asking voters to approve a plan, to approve an authority, and to prove all this before, you know, the authority won't exist. And so, you know, the city in the next summer may lay out a list of things that it can do, but the authority, the actual people who can make the decision, won't exist yet. So it's kind of a weird conundrum, a weird situation we're in.
The Silver Line, even when it was envisioned stretching from Matthews to Belmont, was not going to stop at the airport. Mm. Silver Line passengers would have to transfer to something to get to the airport. In their editorial yesterday on this, The Observer said, if a transit system's success is determined by its ridership, and ridership is determined by how convenient it is for people to use it, then the decision to bypass the actual airport may very well hinder its success. They say the proposal still makes it more convenient to use a car. Won't this whole thing, if you don't put the Silver Line down to Matthews, make it more convenient for people to use a car, Lee?
Well, I think that the plan has opportunity for us to revisit all of these issues, including how close can a bus get to the airport, and, you know, what potentially closer than the train. And, you know, it's just, again, demonstrates that now that we finally have an ability to fund all of these dreams, that we need to go back and see how within that constrained budget we prioritize to achieve all of our goals.
Ed.
Just want to be clear, the way the train is conceived right now, the Silver Line, it crosses the airport's property. It gets within about a mile of the terminal. You get on one of those little people movers. Anybody who's been to a large city airport has seen this. You get off the train, you hop on that. Sometimes you have to get on a people mover just to move among terminals at large airports. Everybody's used to that. I don't think it vitiates the Silver Line plan.
I just want to jump in. I'm not sure the airport has committed to a people mover. In the past, they have said there will be some form of transportation from that light rail station on Wilkinson to the terminal. They've floated the idea of a people mover. They've also talked about a bus. So I think it's a little undetermined. I've never heard the airport say definitely they are going to build a people mover. And I think there's going to be some problems with that in terms of cost. So and again, it's many, many, many years in the future. But I think the people mover is a little bit of an uncertainty.
Lee.
Yeah, I think what we all need to remember is that the choice is not necessarily what we have on the table or something better. The choice may be what we have on the table or nothing. And, you know, we just cannot, I mean, we need to ask these hard questions. We need to have this public engagement. We need to wrestle with an imperfect, you know, set of opportunities, but we do need to move this community forward. And in terms of the organization that would decide, I just want the residents to know that the Regional Transit Authority would contain voices from the city, from the county, from the towns, as well as an appointment from the governor and two from the General Assembly. So I just wanted folks to know who those people would be.
John.
I just want to make a comment that we have time to get this right. And I fear that it may fail. To Ed's point, no, I'm not going to celebrate if it fails, but I can't urge my constituents to vote for a plan that condemns us to some crappy BRT model that's not going to work. I don't think it'll work here. I will urge my constituents to vote against it, and I think a lot of people in Charlotte will vote against it as well.
I have less than a minute, but Lee, given we know what the reaction of the northern towns was to not getting a red line, which now apparently they're going to get. So we could have anticipated Matthews' reaction to not getting a silver line, which they may not get. And given the pushback from Matthews, is an extension of the Gold Line streetcar, especially considering ridership figures, a better use of the money? Is expanding the Blue Line to Pineville and Ballantyne a better use of the money than funding the Silver Line to Matthews? I only have 30 seconds.
Mike, I think those are great questions. And that's exactly the kind of deep dive that we will do when and if we can get through this moment in time, actually get the legislation and engage in that process. You're exactly right. And thank you.
You're welcome. Lee Altman is a chair of the Metropolitan Transit Commission. Ed Driggs is the chair of the Transportation Committee on Charlotte City Council. John Higdon is the mayor of the town of Matthews. And Steve Harrison is WFAE News political reporter who covers transit extensively. Thank you all for the hour.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.